Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Batsara, and Shifra Batsara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeh Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to discuss the results of the Israeli Knesset elections, the elections for the Israeli parliament that were held this past Tuesday. As you know, we supported Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party did not succeed in passing the minimum threshold to get Knesset representation in the elections, but they came very close. And so we're going to discuss the implications and some of the interesting aspects surrounding the election. First of all, Feiglin and Zehut got 2.7% of the vote. That's only about 0.5% short of the minimum threshold that you need to get 4 seats in the Knesset. 4 seats is the minimum that you have to get in order to get Knesset representation. And they came again only 0.5%, roughly 0.5% short of what they needed to get in. So they came very close. Now, we have to understand a couple of things. First of all, when Feiglin started his campaign, he didn't have a real movement behind him. Now he has a real movement behind him as a result of the campaign. He has several thousand people who are volunteers, who are interested in helping. So he has a movement to assist him. And that's important, and that will help him when he runs again. And he will run again, God willing, in the next election. Next election can be held any time in the next 4 years. If, you know, the government in Israel is based on the British parliamentary system. If the government falls, if they lose their majority and they fall, you can have an election at any time. You can have another election at any time. But they can stay in office up to 4.5 years. And so any time between now and 4.5 years from now, there can be another election. There could be another election next year. Anything is possible. But let's assume that it's several years from now. Moshe Feiglin this time has a movement behind him, a real movement, with enthusiastic supporters who want to work and want to volunteer and want to sacrifice in order to make his vision something that will be part of the Knesset and that will be part of the national dialogue of the state of Israel. So that's something that will help. Now, I didn't mention this on the programs we did before the election because I didn't think it would be appropriate before an election to start discussing internal disagreements or criticism that we may have on tactics. But I'm going to mention it during the program now. I thought that Feiglin should have run an exclusively right-wing campaign, only dedicated to appealing to the right with right-wing issues and right-wing positions on the issues. That's what I thought he should have done. And the polls reflect that the majority of Israeli voters are right-wing. The polls in this last election showed 55% of the voters, and this is the left-wing media polls, 55% of the voters identified themselves as right-wing. So that's a huge group of voters. That's the majority of voters, a substantial majority of the voters. And if you run as the real right with right-wing positions, there is a real potential to get support there. Feiglin decided that he was going to get support from the right, the left, and everybody, even though most of his positions are clearly right-wing positions. But he decided he was going to appeal to the whole Israeli electorate, and I think that created some confusion. I don't think things were clear enough. You have to be very clear about exactly where you stand and exactly what you want to do, especially when you have a brand new party and you're asking people to take a chance on you with a brand new party. You really have to have a very clear and decisive message that people will comprehend immediately. Feiglin did have a very clear program to his supporters, but the average Israeli was confused by certain aspects of what he was saying, because he had his offices in Tel Aviv, which is a left-wing city, and he kept saying, I have supporters even from the left, and it created a sense of confusion. And then the fact, of course, that he was for legalization of marijuana, which is something that we disagree with him on. We are against legalization of marijuana. All of that created some confusion and some problems and limited his ability to appeal to many right-wing voters. I hope next time there will be a more concerted effort to appeal to the right, not to have offices in Tel Aviv, but to have offices in Jerusalem, a right-wing city. Jerusalem's a right-wing city. Tel Aviv is a left-wing city. And to have your campaign focused on right-wing areas, Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, the cities which are known to have large concentrations of Sephardic Jews and Jews from the former Soviet Union. Those are right-wing Jews, right-wing Jewish voters, and of course religious voters. Those are the people that we should be appealing to, because they are the majority of the Israeli electorate. And I think that if there's any confusion or muddying of the waters in terms of where a party stands for, I think that hurts the party and hurts the party's chances for having enthusiastic supporters that will stay with the party. Feiglin in the polls had gone up to 8 or 9 seats in some polls. So he clearly was in good shape at one point. But then all the parties ganged up on him, all the other parties, because he was a threat to all of the parties in Israel. He is the one candidate running, and that was Zehut was the one party running that really stood for change, for real change, for really, really changing the Israeli system from top to bottom. And again, in the vast majority of areas, on the vast majority of issues, the change that he proposed would have been very positive from our point of view. Very positive. Privatizing, a free market, reducing taxes, cutting regulation, cutting down government ministries. The things he proposed economically and socially were most of his positions were excellent positions, outstanding positions. That if Israel implemented those positions, Israel would be a booming technological and economic powerhouse. And his focus on those issues was good, but again, you muddy the waters when you get involved with other issues as well. I think he should have focused on those issues, and he should have focused on security issues and should have clearly explained why he believes that the entire land of Israel must belong to the Jewish people and we must have sovereignty over the entire land of Israel, Judea, Samaria, Gaza. Look at how Benjamin Netanyahu, the phony prime minister that was just reelected, that phony hypocritical opportunist, he said he was going to bring sovereignty, declare Israeli sovereignty over Judea and Samaria, which of course he's not going to do. He's a liar. He, in fact, endangers Israeli control of Judea and Samaria. He's given up large sections of Judea and Samaria already as prime minister. So he's a liar and a fraud. But he got away with that. I think Feiglin should have consistently been there to say, you're the phony right, I'm the real right. That's what I thought should have happened. That's what I thought would have been a more effective campaign. We supported Feiglin not because of tactics. Obviously, we disagreed with him. I'm explaining to you some of the areas where tactically we disagreed with him. But we supported him because he's honest. He really is an honest person. And all the other politicians running are dishonest. All of them. Let me explain something to you. Politicians are phonies, are liars, are dishonest. You have to be a fool to think that politicians are honest, decent people. They're not. Okay? The lowest people, generally speaking, the lowest people in the world enter politics. Now, there are exceptions to the rule, and Moshe Feiglin was one of those rare exceptions. And that's one of the main reasons why we supported him. He really was honest, and what he promised he would do is what he would really do. Unlike all the other parties and all the other politicians who are full of baloney. And so we ran a campaign supporting him. We got over 1 million views on our videos since with our advertising campaign. And the problem was we ran the right-wing campaign that I'm suggesting that he should have run. We were running a straight right campaign talking about right-wing issues. But he was running a different type of campaign where he was speaking about all types of different issues and appealing to the whole Israeli public and the whole Israeli populace, and it caused confusion, and so it undermined even our effort to convince voters that Fagelin is the real right, which was our message on the commercials that we put forward. I think our commercials did get him thousands and thousands. I think our commercials got him a good 20, 30,000 votes. But we could have gotten him a lot more. We could have done a lot better if he had also been running a right-wing campaign. And again, Benjamin Netanyahu four times already has been elected prime minister, running as a right-winger, even though he's not a right-winger, because he knows that most Israelis are right-wing. He understands that's the way to run and win. Fagelin has to learn that. He has to learn that lesson from Netanyahu. And he himself said that the Likud would be the governing party when he joined the Likud. Years ago, he was in the Likud in the past because he wanted to take over the Likud. He wanted to take it over to turn it into a Jewish party, not the corrupt, vile party that it is. He wanted to take it over and throw these rascals out, and if I can use that old-fashioned term, and turn the party into what it should be. Because he understood that the Likud had a reputation for being a right-wing party, even though it's not a right-wing party, but it had a reputation for being a right-wing party. And that if it was made into a true right-wing party, it would be a winning formula for Israel. But something happened since then, and he thought that he has to appeal to all types of people from a broad spectrum. And so again, that created some confusion. I hope in the next campaign we won't see that. We're going to support him and we're going to try to help him. And again, even if we have tactical differences with him on certain issues, his election will be good for the Jewish people. And so we will support somebody, even if they don't listen to our advice on tactical issues. We don't make our decisions based on whether or not they listen to our advice on tactical issues. We support people based on what is good for Jews. If it's good for Jews and good for Israel, we support that candidate. And that's true in Israel, and it's true in the United States. That's how we decide whom we're going to support. And Fagelin, with the things that he was proposing, the privatization of the Israeli economy, the liberation of Judea, Samaria, and Gaza, a program to encourage the Arabs to leave with compensation, encourage massive Arab immigration out of Israel with compensation. These programs that he was proposing would have had a vastly beneficial effect on Israel, tremendously beneficial, if implemented. And that's why we supported him. And of course, we didn't think he would become prime minister any time in the near future. But once these ideas become part of Israeli thinking, and once he spreads these ideas by being a member of the Knesset, all types of things can happen that could be positive for Israel and for the Jewish people, and that's what we wanted to see happen. You can change history if you have ideas that fire the imagination of your people. And that's what we wanted to see Fagelin do. And he is a good spokesman, and he is a good debater. He's a good speaker and a good debater. And he's brilliant. He's a great writer. He's brilliant. And so we really wanted to see him get in. I don't know if you noticed in the last several shows, if you remember, I said in the last show that I didn't know what was going to happen. I had no idea. The last poll showed him getting in, but I think you could see on the last show that I was doubtful. I knew that those attacks, that the massive attacks, they attacked him from left and right, and every party under the sun started attacking him. There was a blitz of attacks against him. Everybody ganged up on him at the end. And I knew that in a situation like that, he'd be vulnerable, and that some of his supporters would abandon him, unfortunately. And, of course, his real loyal supporters stayed with him. But there were those who abandoned him. And I knew that would happen. I knew that would happen. And so I was somewhat pessimistic at the end because of that, about it, in terms of his chance of actually getting in. But I still think some important things were accomplished in this campaign. First of all, again, he proved he could come close to passing the threshold. When we started this campaign, even 6 months ago, everybody said he can't even come close. They were saying he's not going to get he's not going to get one-sixth or one-seventh of the vote he needs to get past the threshold. That's what Amit Segel, who is the main political reporter for Channel 12, the biggest television station in Israel, said. He's only getting 0.4% of the vote. He can't even come close to getting the 3.25% that he needs to get in. That's what Amit Segel was saying. That's what all the political experts were saying. They were writing him off. Everybody was writing him off like he's a joke. Now they see that he's not a joke. He did come close. He came close to winning. So he has a chance. He comes to the next campaign having already won about 110,000 votes. He needs about 140,000 to get in. And he got about 110,000 votes. I'm not sure exactly the number. I think it's about 110,000 votes. I think he came about 30,000 votes short. So he certainly has the potential to do it. If you come that close, then if things just go your way a little bit more, or you run a little bit of a better campaign, you can get in. You can get, next time you can get in. It is doable. It's possible. Will they attack him again the way they did this time, next time? You have to assume they will. You have to assume they will. So he's got to be ready for that. He's got to learn the lesson of this campaign and be prepared for all types of surprises that could come up in the next campaign. But it's important that we understand that educating the Israeli public is part of our goal here, is part of our job as Jewish activists. Because the Israeli public has no idea about what makes for a successful economy. They have no notion. You can be a socialist in Israel and be a right winger. The Likud are socialists. They believe in big government, big spending, big taxes, massive government programs. That's socialism. And all the parties on the so-called right, even Otzma, which are people who claim to be Kahanists, who didn't get in also, by the way, they didn't get in either. But they claim to be Kahanists. Even they are socialists. So Israelis have no clue. They've never been exposed to free market economies or to the concept of true competition. I mean, they've been exposed to it in certain areas, but in a limited way. And they need somebody who's going to explain to them and outline for them a convincing, realistic, compelling program that shows them what a positive difference it can make if Israel becomes a truly free society with a free economy. And of course, we urgently need Jewish values to be taught in the schools of Israel. And Feiglin's voucher system would have done that. He proposed vouchers to give parents the ability to choose any school they want. Now, of course, some parents would have chosen schools that don't teach Jewish values. But most of the parents in Israel would have chosen schools with Jewish values, which they're not getting now. The parents would have been in control of the schools. They would have been in control of the teachers, the schools, the principals. They would be the ones hiring and firing. They would have the money in their hands to create schools. They wouldn't have the government bureaucracy, which are all Bolsheviks. Communists and Bolsheviks run the teachers' unions and the bureaucracy in Israel. That wouldn't be the case under Feiglin's program. You'd have a voucher system and parents would hire the teachers and fire the teachers. And parents would be running the schools. I mean, would be deciding which schools would be run. And parents would, in effect, be the overseers of their children's education. And about one-third of Israeli Jewish parents are strictly religious, Torah observant. And, in fact, it's actually more than that. And if you count the ones who are traditional, what's called Masortiim, a substantial majority of Jewish parents in Israel want their kids to get a truly Jewish education, which they're not getting now. Even in the yeshiva world, they get an education that's controlled by the government because the government pays all the salaries and fires any teacher that tells the truth. You wouldn't have that under Feiglin's program. You'd have a situation where the vast majority of Israeli parents who want their kids to get a Jewish education would be able to go to schools where their kids get a truly Jewish education with Jewish values and would learn how to be proud, faithful, true Jews. The impact of this would be tremendous. It would be revolutionary. That's why we supported him, despite the fact that we disagreed with him on marijuana, and despite the fact that we disagreed with him on some of the other positions that he took from time to time on some of the other issues. On 80% of the issues, we agreed with him. So that's where we are now. We want to prepare for the next election and hope and pray that things will go well and that this time he'll get in, next time he'll get in. And in the meantime, things don't stand still until the next election. By the way, our advertising campaign did not stop for 1 minute because our commercials not only say that you should support Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party, which is relevant, still relevant because we're supporting him in the next election. Our commercials and our advertising also speak about issues, speak about having a program to encourage the Arabs to leave, about how most Arabs in the polls say that they want to leave Israel. The vast majority say they want to leave Israel. How it's insane that you'd have a Jewish government that doesn't take advantage of this situation and get our enemies out. So that's what's at stake here. And we're continuing our advertising. Thousands of Israeli Jews are seeing our commercials every day, even after the election. So our advertising campaign and our education campaign goes on. And we continue, and our budget will be completely devoted to changing the minds of Israelis and waking Israelis up and introducing them to new ideas and a new ideology. That will be our focus and will continue to be our focus. And every single day, thousands of Israeli Jews are reached with our commercials. Every single day. And we hope, God willing, that that will continue. God, Bezrat Hashem, God willing. Now, of course, we also have a situation which will develop in the United States next year. You're going to have the American presidential election. And I don't know what we're going to do yet in the presidential election. If Donald Trump proposes a so-called peace plan, which is a suicide plan for Israel, and starts pressuring Israel to accept this plan, we're going to do the same thing we did last time. We're going to fight against Trump and against the Democrats. We're going to be against both of them and just condemn both of them and refuse to support either one. We're not going to support Trump if he's pressuring Israel to commit suicide. We're not going to support him if he does that. That's not going to happen. On the other hand, if he doesn't begin a vigorous... If he proposes a plan, which of course, any plan he proposes, we're going to be against. Because we want Israel to control her own homeland. And none of the plans favor that. But if he does not vigorously pressure Israel and doesn't really make a big deal about this, in other words, just puts out a plan for the sake of putting it out, but nothing really happens, nothing really comes of it, and he doesn't really push it. And if we continue to see this vicious anti-Semitic Democrat Party behaving the way that it's behaving, then we'd have a situation where Trump would become the lesser of the evils and where we would probably support him as the lesser of the evils against the anti-Semitic Democrats who are worse than he is. That would be the situation. And then we'd begin a campaign on behalf of on fighting against the anti-Semitic Democrats and fighting to prevent them from winning the election next year, the presidential election next year, which, by the way, the polls show the Democrats are going to win. Most polls show the Democrats are leading Trump. When there's a head-to-head race between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, between Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, usually Sanders, Biden, the Democrat candidates, if they're well known, have a lead over Trump in the polls right now. So it's going to be a tough, close election. I think it's going to be a tough, close election. And we could have a potential impact on that election because we're never Trumpers. We're never Trumpers from the right. And if even we as never Trumpers say the Democrats are so bad that even though we hate Trump, we still think that you have to oppose the Democrats. You have to do everything we can to defeat the Democrats. If we say that, it could have an impact on people like us that don't like Trump, because there are many people out there that don't, that can't stand Trump but can't stand the Democrats either. And so those are the people we can address. Those are the people that both parties desperately would love to get their hands on at the polls. So we could have a significant impact. And again, because of our position in the Jewish community, we could have a significant impact because of the anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party. If Jews didn't vote 80% Democrat or 75% or 70% Democrat, if that went down to 60 or 65% in key swing states like Florida, that could make the difference between winning and losing. And winning or losing states like Florida in a close election, that's the election. So we could make a big difference in that respect, potentially. We're going to see what happens. We're going to see what Trump decides to do with this plan and how he acts in the next several months. And we're going to see who the Democrats decide to nominate. So far, the Democrat candidates, they're all anti-Israel. They're all anti-Semites. They're all disgusting, evil people. Every one of them is a disgusting, evil person. Every Democrat running for president is evil and despicable and an enemy of Israel, an enemy of the Jewish people. And so we're going to see how that shakes out before we take a position. We're not taking our position yet. We're going to see how that situation develops. But in the meantime, I wanted you to know that our campaign goes on. Of course, Feiglin has a chance of getting in next time. You know, if you come close, you run a campaign and you lose, but you come close despite all the odds and despite the fact that you started out with almost nothing. That's usually a good sign that you have a chance in the future of potentially getting in. He has a reasonable chance of getting in next time. I don't know what the odds are. I can't lay odds because, first of all, we don't know what's going to be in the next several years. But he certainly will have a chance in the future of potentially getting in. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know for sure. Just as I told you before this election, I didn't know for sure if he would get in. I couldn't promise you that he would get in. Of course I can't. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But he certainly has a realistic chance of getting in. That's for sure. There's a real chance there that he could. That him coming close this time, next time he just gets more votes, he just gets a few more votes, and next time he does pass the threshold. That happens all the time in politics. So it is certainly very conceivable that that could happen, and we want to be there to help make that happen. And of course, most importantly, we want to educate the Jews of Israel. We want them to have the right positions on the issues. We want them to understand that we can't live with millions of people who want to exterminate us. We can't coexist with millions of people who want to exterminate us. That we can't allow Israel to open her doors, this tiny country smaller than New Jersey, to open her doors to hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa. We can't have a situation where tiny Israel vivisects herself and creates a so-called Palestine state, despite the fact that there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, and goes back to the pre-1967 borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide, suicide borders, God forbid. We can't have a situation like that. We have to have an end to these suicidal policies. We have to have Jewish leaders that will bring Jews to understand that we can bring the final redemption for Israel and for the world if we do what Hashem commands us to do. That's our mission. That's what we're in this world for. Every single one of us has a higher calling. Everyone watching this tape, I'm calling it a tape because I'm 62 years old. Everyone watching this video has a higher calling. And Jew or Gentile, you have a purpose in life. You were put into this world to make this a better world. For yourself, and for your family, and for your loved ones, and for the world at large. You were put into this world to make this a better world. And the question is, will we answer our calling in life? That's the real question. JTF gives us an opportunity to do that because this is the one organization where you're reaching God's people, the Jews in Israel, with a right-wing, uncompromising message that opposes national suicide and that will strengthen Israel's resolve to survive and to do what must be done in order to flourish and grow and become the Jewish state that will be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests, as the Bible commands us to do. That would be a blessing for Israel and for the whole world. And so that's our mission, that's our battle, and we continue with that battle now. That battle goes on, and there's no doubt that in the end, the good guys are going to win. In the end, those who stand for the truth will win. That doesn't mean that JTF will win, because I don't know if that's going to happen the next several years, or if it'll take the next 20 years or 100 years, I don't know. But eventually the good guys are going to win and win permanently. That we are promised. That Hashem promised us in the Bible. That is the clear and absolute message of all the prophets in the Bible, that there will be a final redemption, that there will be true justice, and absolute justice and truth and righteousness in the world. That all the good things will prevail in the end and evil will be destroyed. All of that will happen eventually and will happen forever and evermore. That day is coming. When? I don't know. And when may depend on all of us, on what we do to try to bring that day of justice and that day of truth and righteousness closer. All of us have to do our share. And if we do our share, then on the day of judgment, when we're asked what we did, we at least could say we tried to do everything that we could do. So if you want to help little Israel and help God's people at this time to prevent national suicide and to have honest leaders for a change, uncompromising leaders, principled leaders, if that's what you want, you're in the right place. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.